It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 44, and we're going to enjoy the study today. We're going to read that chapter, Genesis chapter 44, so please open your Bibles to that chapter if you can. I hope that you can today. It's always better that you can read it along with me, study it along with me. And while you're opening your Bibles, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Now that you've had an opportunity to open your Bibles, and please that you follow along with me now as I read. Genesis chapter 44, beginning to read with verse 1. And he commanded the steward of his house, saying, "Fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his sack's mouth, and put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money." And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his servant, "Up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, Wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth? Ye have done evil in so doing." And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these words. And they said unto him, "Wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we have, which we found in our sacks' mouths, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever of thy servants it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondsmen." And he said, "Now also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless." Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched, and began at the eldest, and left at the youngest. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and laded every man his ass, and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground, and Joseph said unto them, "What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine?" And Judah said, "What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." And he said, "God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." Then Judah came near unto him and said, "O my lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word of my lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My lord asketh his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. Thou saidest unto thy servant, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidest unto thy servants, except your youngest brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, go again and buy us a little food. And he said, we cannot go down. If our youngest brother be with us, then will we go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. The one went out from me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, the mischief befall him, he shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass, when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame of my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? Let's end there and begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come and enjoy this time. It is a wonderful time to read and to enjoy your precious word. Please, that you will show us, dear Father, what you have us to learn in these verses in your precious word. We have read this 44th chapter, and we ask you that you will guide and lead us through it now. Please, dear Lord, that you will touch every heart, that the heart that does not know you as their Savior, if they have never come by faith to you, please today that they come. Please that they will trust in you and ask you into their heart, and they are aware that there is a hell to shun, and they need to come to you, that their sins must be taken away, or they'll spend eternity in the lake of fire. Please, dear Lord, touch our hearts, every one of us that are listening today. And if we do know you, that our walk will be close to you, our talk will be close to you, our fellowship will be with you, Lord, please, please guide and lead us today. Now, show us through your word, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's always important that the Holy Spirit lead us through his word. It's the only way we're going to know the truth, and the truth will definitely, as the word tells us, set us free. But it must come by the leadership and the direction and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, whether it be for salvation or for our learning of God's word after we're saved. It all comes through and by the Holy Spirit. We have quite a story going on here. You know, we have looked at this, and from the 37th chapter, and it's going to go all the way up through chapter 44, of the story of this man named Joseph. It's quite a story, and it's taking many chapters of God's word. It's such an important story that we see and we hear. And so I'm glad that you've joined us to study it today. I'm glad that you're with us today as we're looking through here. But now please, let's seek again the Lord's will, that we may know exactly what he'll have to show us. And for 10 chapters, excluding chapter 38, if you'll remember right, is concerning Judah. The rest is all about Joseph. And so please, as we look through these 9 chapters, that we can see exactly what he has for us. And in this chapter 44, we know that we have been back and forth now. The famine has been great. We've learned at the time periods that has been going on here, and everything concerning the years that it wasn't a famine, it was a feast. There were 7 years of just plenty. And Joseph, by the leadership of God, was put into a place, by the guidance of God, he was put into a place where he was able to store up enough food to get him through the 7 years of famine. And now I believe we're into the second year of this famine, and Joseph Jacob has sent down all of his brothers except Benjamin unto Joseph. They got food. Well, Joseph recognized the boys, his brothers, immediately, not exposing himself, not showing himself to them of who he was, sent them back and said, "Do not return unless your brother come with you." Well, they knew that that wasn't going to happen because Jacob, Israel, was not going to let Benjamin come because he had already lost one, he thought, in Joseph, and now he would lose a second. Well, the time come that they had to go back down again, and they did. They had the whole discussion about how are we going to go down there without Benjamin. Well, finally, the famine got so bad that it had to come, and so Joseph got his wish. Jacob allowed his youngest, Joseph's brother, to come down into Egypt. It was against Jacob's better judgment. It was against Jacob, his principle, his idea here. He did not want to do this, but he did. And he didn't have a choice. He's either stay there and starve to death. And so, you know, God knows what it's going to take to get everything to its proper place. God's got a plan. We don't see that plan sometimes. Sometimes we kind of fight that plan back and forth. But we find here that it just continues to progress in God's direction, in God's will, and in God's perfect timing. So here we come. They come down, and Joseph sees his youngest brother, his full brother, Benjamin, because it all come to pass. And Joseph couldn't contain himself. He ended up having to go aside for a little bit into another room and wash his face, wash his tears away. And then he come and they set bread on the table. And as they had looked at the different division, and remember where we kind of left off last time, because it was kind of a neat arrangement here. Joseph set the brothers at their proper age, the eldest to the youngest. He had them seated properly. He himself was seated alone. The Egyptians that were eating there with them were seating alone, because you see, it was an abomination to an Egyptian to eat with a Jew or with one from Israel, somebody like this. So they couldn't do that. So they were seated by themselves. And then here comes these 11 brothers. Because see, now Benjamin's with them. And from the eldest to the youngest, they were seated at a certain place. Boy, I'm sure that bothered them. And then when it got to it, we find that Benjamin got a helping five times as great as the rest of them. I'm wondering, I bet they're wondering, what's going on there? How come is our youngest brother, you know, he asked about him, he inquired about him, he wanted to know if there's other brothers, if there's any other family members, is your father still alive? What questions they had asked. Well, we find now that they have eaten. I forgot to say that they were invited to Joseph's house. You remember that. Boy, that scared the boys. That scared Joseph's brothers, because they had no idea what was coming to pass. That worried them when they were invited in once again. And keep in mind that all the nations were pouring down into Egypt. They were all coming down because of this disaster that had taken place. You see, we need to depend upon God. You know, we need to look at these disasters that happen. And we look upon that, whether it be floods or tornadoes or hurricanes or whatever it might be, or terrorists as they come. We need to seek the will of God. because I tell you what, judgment is coming upon this land. And people don't want to admit to that, that judgment is coming. And it is going to continue to come as we continue to turn aside and turn away from the will of God. Well, judgment had come upon all the land. And yes, they were wicked. Yes, they were sinners. And so this judgment was upon the land. And there was no food anywhere. And so all the people would come and pour into Egypt, because God had made provisions here, not for the world. He made provisions for Israel and his family. That's who this is all about. Because God had a plan. And we need to seek God's will, and we need to search God's word to know that plan. Maybe we can't figure out what's going to come tomorrow, but God knows. And so we need to seek his will, and we need to look his way, that we may be ready and be where we should be. You see, there was a lot of things went on here to get Joseph and his brothers and his father and his family all back together. Only this time they're going to relocate in Egypt. God's got a plan. But it had 7 years of wonderful plenty in the land of Egypt. It's not really told of any place else. But we know in the land of Egypt, there was just great food and great wealth acquired in those 7 years. And Joseph was smart enough to store it up. He stored up 20% every year. 20% of plenty. So it could have been a double crop each time. And he kept 20% of that for 7 years. All the world came. All the world come to look, to see, to eat, because they were going to starve to death if not. So please look at the will of God. Seek the will of God. Come by faith to Jesus Christ. And he says, now, Larry, I'm not going to listen to you about this being any kind of judgment with the storms and all the things that we have. Well, you'll look back through the Word of God and you'll find many times God used things of nature to get man's attention. Sometimes they paid attention and sometimes they didn't. Was Jacob and the 11 sons going to see, learn, and accept the will of God here? Well, we've got another thing going on right here now. Please, that you see this. This is exciting as we look through here. We find that they couldn't quite figure out how that Joseph could know these things, how to seat them in the proper order. How did he know that? How did he know that? And it seemed like he knew that there was that their father. He knew about him. It seemed like it. And it seemed like they knew that there was another son, another brother to these boys. Just seemed like he knew. Well, here we find a plan again. And it commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry. Put every man's money back in the sack. So we're back to the same situation again. Remember, that's what happened last time. They got back home and found out all the money was back in the sacks again. You see, Joseph isn't taking advantage of his brothers. He's just trying to get the family all down here. He wants to see his father, and he wanted to see his younger brother, his youngest brother, his full brother. And he has accomplished to see his brother. Now he wants to see his father. Well, he's got a plan here. And with that plan, he turns around, he does the same thing. He has his steward to fill the sacks as full as they could, as much as the animals could bear. He has placed up with these people. And so that's all in place. But he has one more little thing up his sleeve here. And that is that he's going to take this silver cup. And he's going to put that silver cup into Benjamin's sack, along with all the money and everything. It's going to be, he tucks this cup, this silver cup in there. And as soon as it was morning, they all headed back. They had supper at Joseph, the governor's house, which they really couldn't understand. And so everything seemed to be well. They filled all their sacks with all the food, put all the money back in it, unknowing unto the brothers. They didn't realize that again. Now they're headed home. But what they don't realize is in Benjamin's sack is tucked this silver cup. And so it was morning. They headed back. When they got out of the city, why, Joseph had went to his steward and said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to follow these men. I want you to overtake them. And I want you to tell them something. You need to tell them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth, and have done evil in so doing? And he overtook them, and he spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? God forbid that my servants should do according to this thing. What do you mean? You see, they knew nothing of that silver cup being in there. They knew nothing of that because, you see, the steward had done all this. I think the steward was in on it. I think the steward knew exactly what Joseph wanted to accomplish here. He may even told the steward, these are my brothers. I want to get all of them down here, but this is how I'm going to do it. And so I've got a plan. Now, will you help me? And, of course, the steward said, yes, I will. And so in doing this, why, now we have all the sacks full. We have all the money that they have brought down, two times, if not more than that, back in their sacks. And we have the silver cup. We have the silver cup. Now, the steward goes after him. Says, you have stolen my master's silver cup. And he says, no, we haven't. What do you mean? What are you talking about? In verse 8, behold the money which we found in our sack's mouth, we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. How then should we steal out of my Lord's house silver or gold? That's the 8th verse. The question's there. How can we have stolen that? Why would we want to do that? You see, we have brought all that money back and more to give you. Now, if we were going to come and be thieves and steal from you, would we do that? And why would we steal silver or gold? And verse 9, with whomsoever of thy servant it be found, both let him die, and we also will be my Lord's bondsmen. He said, now, also let it be according unto your words. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man's sack. So the deal's on here. And so whoever it was found, he's going to stay as my servant. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground and opened every man his sack. He searched him, and again at the eldest, verse 12, and left it at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes, and they laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judas said unto his brethren, and Judas and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. They fell before him on the ground. Once again, they're bowing down before Joseph. Something they laughed at, said they would never do. And it seems like a common occurrence. They didn't know what they were going to do. It was found in Benjamin's sack. They knew Benjamin hadn't taken it. They didn't know how it got in there. All the money was still in there again. They don't understand this. They just don't understand. And they came, and it specifies here Judah, because Judah's going to begin to do the speaking. Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. You see, he had not went back to the palace. He was still at the home. That was how quick it had happened, that they had sent the steward after them, caught them, found the cup, and now they have returned back to Joseph's house, not to the palace. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak, or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. There's a problem here. These people cannot figure out. and that word divine divineth back in an earlier verse of Scripture here, back in verse 5. That word divineth, and now divine here in this verse of verse 15. Both of them is hinting that Joseph can tell the future. And somewhere along the line, this little cup helps to do that. And so these they don't understand, even though they have been told that Joseph fears God. They have kind of forgotten that, and I think that they believe that he, through the gods of Egypt, can tell the future. Because how else would he have known the brothers and their proper ages? How would they have known that there was another brother? Because it sure seems like that you knew that ahead of time. How would you know all these things unless you have some special power? And he's even claiming that this special power is in this cup. There's something special that he can foretell. He can tell the future with it. And Joseph's kind of leading them to believe that. And Judah said here in verse 16, "What shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? How shall we clear ourselves?" We don't know what's going on here, and they didn't. They couldn't figure out what was going on. But look at what's coming about here. Because in the middle of verse 16, "How shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found." So the 10 of us plus Benjamin are all your servants. We fall to your feet. And they says, "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants." You know, it wasn't just the act of what they did to Joseph. You remember what got Joseph in problem? He was a tattletale. He was telling on all the bad stuff that these other brothers were doing, the other 10 brothers. He reported that back to their father, and it got him in trouble. That's what got him taken down here and thrown in the pit and sold as a slave. That's how all that come about, because of his tattletaling. And so, you see, now they're not looking back only at what they had done to their brother, but probably at everything else they had done. And if this man, Joseph, and of course they don't know that it's Joseph, but if this governor, if this man of power here can see the future, he probably knows everything we've ever done. And they says, you know, "God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants, and behold, we are thy Lord's servants." You know, undoubtedly you even know all that we have done. Now, how can we take care of this? And he said in verse 17, "God forbid that I should do so, but the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father." And so what has happened here, Joseph has said, "Okay, I'm keeping Benjamin." See, that's who he really wanted. "I'm keeping Benjamin. Now, you just go in peace and go on home. We'll settle on this." And Judah came near unto him and said, "Oh, my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word of my Lord's ear. Let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asketh his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left at his mother, and his father loveth him." You know, something very quickly before we have to close here. Judah immediately here is going before Pharaoh, risking his life, because you see, that younger brother, Benjamin, he's got to go home. He has got to go home to his father. Judah is going to be willing to risk his life to stay there and leave, abandon his family back home to save this young man's life. You know, we need to do the same. Let us bring our loved ones, those that we know, to the Lord at any cost. Let's stay with the Word of God. Let's seek the will of God. Let's look to the power and the strength that God has given us as believers in Jesus Christ to win those that are around us for Jesus Christ. Let's tell them of the fires of hell. You know, as Ezekiel, and we're going to begin there next week, Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. If you get a chance, read that. Please, we need to look to the will of God. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?